There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, and away we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along this hour. And reminder, too, just doing this as a public service, gentlemen. The ladies have figured this out, but this is for the men. Once again, and I'm doing this for myself at the same time. Christmas is Saturday. So if you back this out on your shopping, Christmas is Saturday. Don't say that I didn't tell you. All right, and bring it back onto the air. AL5's congressman and candidate for Senate in the and a regular on the show for quite a long time, even before he's running for Senate, Mo Brooks. Congressman, good to talk to you.
My pleasure.
A lot to get into today. I want to start off with a subject that has been discussed on this radio station a good bit this week. And, of course, there's a series of, what do you call them, witch hunt pieces is what you've been calling them, that have come out talking about you and your text in January 6th.
Well, I refer to what the media calls as Nancy Pelosi's Select Committee as the Pelosi Witch Hunt Committee. And the reason for that is it does not comport with the House rules for the committee to be bipartisan, where a certain number of members are appointed by the Speaker as the head of the Democrat Party, and the remaining members are appointed by the minority leader, which in this case would be Kevin McCarthy. Nancy Pelosi chose to shut the Republican leader out, and none of the people serving on the committee represent the Republican conference in the witch hunt effort.
Here's what I want to get to on this Alexander text here that has started a lot of discussion, and there are stories that are leaned, you know, against you, and there's some that have kind of reported it neutral. I want to ask you, you and I talking here, did you have a text conversation back and forth with Ali Alexander? I see it going one way. I have not seen response from you in the screenshots that they're putting up. Tell me what happened.
Well, I didn't know about the text. That's not the right way to say it. When the text came in around December the 16th, I saw it. But I'm getting communications over the course of the year with thousands upon thousands of people, okay? So this was just another communication. These communications come into my office by the tens of thousands in the form of emails and telephone calls that we respond to, and I have to review and revise all the responsive letters that go out to those tens of thousands of people. In addition to that, I'm see thousands of people in person and then receive any number of phone calls and text messages. So this was one from somebody that my phone didn't register as me having had prior contact with because it wasn't inserted into my phone. I had no clue on December the 16th who this guy was, and I sent my standard boilerplate response back, hey, just communicate with your congressman and your senators your feelings on whether the elections were stolen or not stolen, in hopes that they will vote to best represent your views.
That was your response. That was the other side of that text from Alexander.
That was the gist of it. Yes. Now I need to read it to have the entire thing, but I don't have the entire thing right in front of me. But yeah, that was the gist of it. It was a boilerplate that I sent to most anybody who was asking what they could do to try to encourage their congressmen and senators to vote as they wished on January the 6th.
In that text that they showed, it also said, General Flynn should be giving you a ring. Did General Flynn give you a ring, Congressman?
Not that I'm aware of. Not that I can recall.
So basically the bulk of this is going off of what was sent to you in a text that you responded with a boilerplate response and then didn't get the call from General Flynn. This is what they're hitting you with right now.
That is correct. And by the way, Ali Alexander, let's assume for the moment that he was actually involved in the putting together of the Ellipse Save America rally, which I don't know if he was or was not, but let's assume for the moment he was. If that's all he did, he has the constitutional right to do that. It's called freedom of speech. It's called freedom of assembly. It's called the right to petition your government for redress of your grievances.
Congressman, you've gone through this before with me, but let's do it again. I'm going to ask you this question. Were you in communications and planning for a hostile takeover of the Capitol on January? I've got to ask you. Or were you planning? Did you have advanced meetings and communications planning storming of the Capitol on January 6th?
Nope. It's all made up by the Socialist Democrats, and it's expounded on right now in this Senate race by my opponents.
So this is why it's nice when I can get you to call in and just say this point blank. And those allegations that say you were planning, you talked to this person, y'all had meetings before, you were setting all this stuff up, in no way, shape, or form did that happen.
Well, okay, that's a vague kind of statement.
Okay, well, let me make it clear.
Answer it this way. We had lots of meetings about voter fraud and election theft and the kinds of activities that were supposed to occur on the House and Senate floor to communicate to the American people the significance of the voter fraud and election theft and why we were most troubled about the way the election was conducted in 2020.
Did at any point in those conversations, so I'm going to be specific, was there a meeting that says, on January 6th, these guys right here, they're going to storm the Capitol and we're going to set this up?
In no way, shape, or form.
Okay. That's
wasn't even hinted at, okay? All right. I don't know where these people are coming from, except that they're trying to expound little molehills in the mountains or perhaps make mountains out of nothing.
That's just
the nature of politics in America today.
Well, I think look at
CNN. CNN is one of the ones that are the worst at doing this kind of thing, where they make these accusations based on rumor mill and surmise, where there's no evidence, there's no honest person saying something. Okay? For 2 years, CNN asserted that there was Russian collusion between President Trump and the Russian Federation. And then after 2-3 years, we've discovered zero evidence of Russian collusion. But nonetheless, CNN, the Socialist Democrats, and some of our Rhino Republicans put forth that sales pitch for 2 years to try to impact the 2018 elections, and they were successful at it.
This specific allegation here, it would be, I mean, what I'm doing right now, I would hope other people would do in the media that I have not seen, is just ask you that question I just asked you point blank. You know, point blank.
Just look at the text. That's all you got to do. This guy comes out of the blue. I don't know who he is. He says, hey, we met over a decade ago at some kind of meeting or rally or whatever. I have no clue who that is. Okay? And he admits it in his introduction in the text message. And then he apologizes for not having invited me to a thing I didn't go to. What's that got to do with anything? And then finally says, hey, you may be getting a phone call from General Flynn, a phone call that I don't think I ever got. I certainly don't recall ever having gotten it.
What
is in there that's bad conduct?
That's what I'm trying to ask there. I mean, as you respond to these allegations, it seems like somebody other than just me, you know, would just ask you the point blank question.
You would think, but that's not the way the bias in the news media is. You've got AL.com that is hardly dishonest. You've got CNN that's hardly dishonest. You've got Alabama Political Reporter that may be the most dishonest of them all. They don't care what the truth is, Sean. They have a political agenda to advance, and they are willing to sacrifice the means in order to achieve the end.
Talk about also what's been going on, or maybe better yet, not going on, with the Sunday show appearance from Manchin, saying that he was a no on Build Back Better. That has caused some screams out there and some caterwauling from those that wanted this to go through. This was something that you and I talked about, of course, when it was in the House, that this was a no. Now, does this end up coming back to y'all in the House again, now that it's a no in the Senate? And I mean, maybe they go take the vote and have Manchin vote no. I don't think he's the only Democrat that would be a no. But do you see this back in the House, and what do you do with it at that point?
Everything is always an option. The Democrats control the House, they control the Senate, they control the White House. So if they tomorrow decide that they want to bring a different bill to the House floor, they can bring a different bill that spends who knows how many trillions of dollars that we don't have. They can do that. They're in power. The American people gave them that power to do those kinds of things. Right now, the bill that you're talking about that is misnamed as Build Back Better, but of course they're trying to market it, so they'll come up with some nice name. It is in the Senate. And until the Senate votes on it, it cannot, under our procedures, come back to the House.
Now, do you...
But they can come up with a brand new one.
Do you think they will, or they'll find something else? It seems like... Where's the political advantage for them trying this again? Or do you think they cut out a piece of it and run with it, or find something completely different to work on as some kind of signature legislation?
Don't have a clue as to how the Democrats are going to handle this situation. You've got some Democrats that purportedly are saying, ooh, I'm glad that's behind us. You've got other Democrats who are saying, the problem is we didn't spend enough. We need to bring it back and try to spend even more. We need to force Joe Manchin to have a Senate floor vote on it and be on the record against it, if he's really going to be on the record against it, and to see if there are any others against it, or if it's just Joe Manchin, maybe Kyrsten Sinema. So there are all sorts of rumors, all sorts of possibilities. At this point, all we know is that Joe Manchin has made a public statement that he is not going to vote for the bill as it currently is, but he has invited another huge spending bill.
I got a question for you, just opinion on something here, looking at the Democrats. Do you feel there was an intra-Democrat party vote of no confidence in the fact that here's Joe Manchin goes publicly and announces he's a no vote? I'm trying to think of, you know, let's go to a former strong Democrat leader, former President Obama. Would a senator have publicly done that, you know, without suffering in their home state? It just seems like there was a big statement there beyond just Build Back Better. It was like a vote of no confidence by Manchin.
I don't know how to interpret Joe Manchin's conduct. Certainly that is one option. Joe Manchin is in a very difficult position in West Virginia. If he were to switch parties and run as a Republican, he'd have a real tough time in a Republican primary because of his left-wing votes on so many other issues. Certainly the Democrats appear, at least at a national level, to be dissatisfied with him, but he's answerable to the Democrats in West Virginia. And then you've got the option of him running as an independent, which he might could win, but he might get bushwhacked from two different sides. So I can't read his situation.
All right.
Wish I could.
And then one more here on, I've been telling folks this week that, you know, this federal, I mean, this executive branch edict here on vaccine mandates going through OSHA, it was on. And then with the Fifth Circuit, I think in New Orleans, it was off in November. And now late on Friday, the Sixth Circuit says it's back on. What are you telling folks? What's your thoughts on this? I mean, when does this get to the Supreme Court, or does it?
Well, the bottom line is that elections are important. In 2018 and 2020, the American people erred in their judgment, and to some degree in 2020, that error was expanded by the voter fraud and election theft activities. And the only solution is in 2022 and 2024, if we want to save our country from becoming socialist, then by golly, we need to fight in those elections like we've never fought before. That is the solution. Now, in the interim, we can litigate in court. But as you've seen, the courts are all over the map now. Some say yes, some say no. Ultimately, go to the Supreme Court, and who knows what they'll do.
Tell us about the campaign. How's the campaign trail going?
Well, we're working hard. We're making progress. According to the last five or six polls that I've seen, we're in first. But the other side has got millions upon millions of dollars from special interest groups, and they're going to do everything they can to try to prevent a principled conservative like myself from getting elected. They don't want people that put America first. They want people who will put America second and their own special interests, greed, whatever it may be, first. So that's going to be the kind of battle that we're going to see over the next 5 months. I like it that we're in the ball game, given how badly we're being outspent. I'm very pleased that all the polls have us in first, but we'll have to see how it plays out as the special interest groups start launching their artillery attacks at me. And you've seen it through the news media. where you have all this fake news out there, and the AL.coms, the CNNs, the Alabama Reporters of the world, they are more than happy to print rumor and surmise rather than fact, and they're going to do that for the next 5 months because they, too, don't want a principled conservative. So it's going to be up to the Alabama citizenry to determine whether they want a principled conservative or they want someone who's lockstep with the special interest groups, the epitome of the swamp.
People want to get more information about the campaign. Where do they go, Congressman?
MoBrooks.com. Love your help.
All right, Congressman, we'll talk again soon. Merry Christmas to you and the family.
Thank you, and to you, and a new year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. There he is, Congressman Mo Brooks. We asked the question that I've been asking why the other media hasn't asked, and got his answer. What do you think? We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, just a few minutes out, too. We're going to get some of the opening comments here from President Biden and his Omicron. They say it will be an Omicron variant-focused speech. I don't know if focused is the right word when talking about the president, but this is going to talk about what they're going to do for their winter plan to deal with Omicron, and also this idea of getting test kits like into people's hands. The test kit thing too. I need to know like which test kits are. Wouldn't you like to see those ranked like home test kits for COVID? Like the ones that are like you have because you go right now and you have no idea. Is this one good? Is that one good? Maybe one that would show that this is the. Like, this one is 9 out of 10 times accurate. This one's 7 out of 10. I like that information. But, yeah, they were talking about, I'm sure we're going to hear about how it's the winter of death and destruction. But at the same time, what they're going to do for getting test kits to people, that should be interesting. That's part of what they said will be in the comments from President Biden coming our way here in just a few minutes. So we'll get some of that. Also, on the text line here. Sam says the biggest crime is Nancy Pelosi failed by not having proper security after the FBI warned her and the cop that shot the woman dead because he could not see her hands. Investigate Pelosi. Well, that's probably going to be a 2022 thing. So it's got to be after that election. People asking for how to get it's just MoBrooks.com. If you want to get more information on that, on the campaign, I guess just go search MoBrooks.com. Grant says, I appreciate what he is saying, meaning Mo Brooks, but Britt is just more likable, in my opinion. Hopefully we'll have Katie Britt on the show here before the new year. I'll take a fast call. He says Bill's on. Bill, I've got about a minute and 15 here.
All right. Well, I'll be very concise here. Okay. I just wanted to change it up a bit on the Jared Carl interview you did, where he said he didn't really want to do a tit-for-tat type of thing when the Republicans get in. Now, I understand that that might be the way it'll be portrayed in the media, but I think that there's some serious criminal element here that and corruption that needs to be dealt with. And if the Republicans are going to be the only party that's going to call this thing out, it needs to be done. I mean, they didn't say that, well, we're not going to do the Nuremberg trials because, you know, we're just going to let bygones be bygones. I mean, I think this COVID thing, the genesis of it, this investigation with Fauci, it needs to be done. Someone needs to do it.
Okay. So, and I think you're not going to, of course, see that until they take control. I mean, nothing will happen until they take control of the House. So we'll see where it is at that point. I think they lead off with that or everybody wants Hunter Biden's laptop. Which one's more important?
Well, I think that there's a serious element here that's in the body politic that needs to be rooted out. I think there's some people playing both sides here.
There we go.
That are not... Yeah.
Bill, I appreciate your call. Thank you. And we'll keep an eye on that as well. All right. I'll go to the news here. And when we come back, depending, it's Washington time. I've dealt with this for over a decade. You know, they'll say something starts at 1:30 and it actually doesn't start until like 1:40 or so. But listen, we can fill in. So if they have started the comments, when we get back, we'll go to that audio right here on Midday Mobile. Reminder, too, that app, it's our Christmas present to you. It's for free. The brand new FM Talk 106.5 app with the streaming feature, the talkback feature, the podcast, the weather, the traffic, all on there. That's just naming a few. Go check it out at Google or the app or Google Play or the App Store. Just look for FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Maybe we can have a Christmas tradition and watch Team America World Police. I mean, we can't run it on the air, but you and I can have that as a Christmas theme. All right, 136 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Remember what I told you about Washington time. So we'll see if they start the pressure. The way I read everything, and you can double check me, but the way I read everything, it was a 2:30 Eastern time start, right? So I did the heavy math and said, well, that would be 1:30 Central Time. But, you know, if the address starts, we'll go to that audio. If not, we got plenty of stuff to do right here on Midday Mobile. And this is all about President Biden delivering remarks to we the people as Omicron, this is what Newsweek says, as Omicron has become the dominant COVID strain in the nation. So, I'm talking about Omicron's really had an exceptional breakout year here, don't you think, Dalton? I mean, as, you know, early in the season, people were talking about Delta, or, you know, talking about the original recipe, and now it's all about Omicron. So Omicron accounts for about 73% of the sequenced cases in the U.S., rapidly overtaking the Delta variant. At least one person has died in the United States from this latest strain. Although I heard our news update say there hasn't been, but I hear there's a person in Houston that has. I don't know. It says, and Biden is urging Americans to get vaccinated and receive their booster if they're eligible. Today, the president is expected to announce additional actions to protect Americans and aid hospitals as Omicron spreads. By the way, side note, can we have a little side note discussion? Remember when the two different times during the first, was that the CARES Act? What was it? The first time the money came out, right? The money came to the states for assistance with dealing with the pandemic. And then we had, of course, the ARPA money coming through as well. And I've asked both times, wouldn't it be a great thing if the states could put that in an account and hold on to it? Remember that? Remember that stick in the mud commentary before they spent it on all these different projects? Wouldn't it be great if they spent the money on having like extra hospital beds or ventilators or reworking facilities, having places to take people out of homes if they're in a nursing home, get them to somewhere else, get them outside. Remember those ideas? Or having this war chest of money that they could keep on hand, that if going forward we needed to deal with. Remember that when I said, because we don't know what's next, and we don't know what next, and we don't know what the next year holds. Remember that silly stuff I said? So, president expected to announce additional actions to protect Americans and aid hospitals as Omicron spreads. He's scheduled to speak at 2:30 p.m. That would be Eastern time, and his remarks will be live streamed. So there you go. Biden addressed the public just 3 weeks ago when the Omicron variant was first identified and announced new plans to increase access to testing by reimbursing individuals for at-home COVID tests. President expected today to announce an increasing number of federal testing sites to help with surges in test demand. Ahead of the holidays, people have reportedly waited hours for COVID tests and faced delays with getting their results. This at-home test thing, I think, if they were reliable and you could do it, I think that's a good thing. It says Biden will also announce a distribution of 500 million at-home rapid tests. Americans can sign up via a website to receive tests delivered for free. Well, not really for free. They don't have to pay for it. I mean, they're for free to them. That would begin in January. All right. I guess we have Dalton. Yeah, I can go to the phone. We can take a call here. But as soon as they take that feed from Washington, let me know. Let's go to Roger in Bilobattery. Next. Hey, Roger.
Hey, how's it going there?
It's good, man. How about you?
Doing good, doing good. I just wanted to comment on the news about the bridge and, them going ahead again on it. I think the biggest problem we have with this whole project is that nobody has really identified what our problem is and what a solution is to that problem. I think the problem is that we just have an abundance of vehicles on the road. We have a blockage here at the crossing the river in the bay, and it needs to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to take and put in a bridge, I would suggest putting in a four-lane bridge, but make that bridge all eastbound. and then make the two tunnels westbound, and then widen the causeway to the bayway so that we don't have this bottleneck, and take care of it that way. Don't duplicate east and west on a bridge and east and west on a tunnel. It's redundant and not necessary. It would reduce the cost of the whole project. And the biggest thing, people, this is an interstate highway. This is the responsibility of the federal government, not the state. Now, the state may have to put in some, but, you know, the main responsibility here is the federal government, and it's just because there's a heck of a lot more people on the roads now. It's not a local problem. It's the traffic on I-10 is here everywhere, all the time, day and night.
Yeah, and Roger, a couple things there. The idea, and I've talked about this so many times, this idea of the federal responsibility for the interstate system, in our lifetime, that has changed. So I dug into this, 2 years ago, and now they've gone to where the feds, and not just us, but elsewhere, the feds taking care of everything on the interstate system. They have to have buy-in from local areas. I agree with you. I agree with the spirit of what you're saying, but they're saying that those times have changed. If you're thinking 100% funding from the feds on that, it's not a thing. The other question would be, on that bayway, Roger, they tell me that one of the reasons they're doing this is to make sure that the bayway is in compliance going forward. You know, it's an older structure. It's towards the end of its lifetime, and they want to get it up to date. We'll talk about this more on tomorrow's show. It looks like the address has started from Washington. Let's go live to Washington and President Biden.
I know how you're feeling. For many of you, this will be the first or even the second Christmas where you look across the table, be an empty kitchen chair there. Tens of millions have gotten sick. We've all experienced upheaval in our lives. But while COVID has been a tough adversary, we've shown that we're tougher. Tougher because we have the power of science and vaccines that prevent illness and save lives. And tougher because of our resolve. So that, let me answer some questions that lay out the steps the Vice President and I are taking to prepare for the rising number of cases experts tell us we can expect in the weeks ahead. First, how concerned should you be about Omicron, which is now the dominant variant in this country and it happened so quickly? The answer is straightforward. If you're not fully vaccinated, you have good reason to be concerned. You're at a high risk of getting sick. And if you get sick, you're likely to spread it to others, including friends and family. The unvaccinated have a significantly higher risk of ending up in a hospital or even dying. Almost everyone who has died from COVID-19 in the past many months has been unvaccinated. Unvaccinated. But if you're among the majority of Americans who are fully vaccinated, and especially if you've gotten the booster shot, that third shot, you have much less reason to worry. You have a high degree of protection against severe illness. But because Omicron spreads so easily, we'll see some fully vaccinated people get COVID, potentially in large numbers. There will be positive cases in every office, even here in the White House, among the vaccinated from Omicron. But these cases are highly unlikely to lead to serious illness. Vaccinated people who get COVID may get ill, but they're protected from severe illness and death. That's why you should still remain vigilant. According to our doctors, even if you're fully vaccinated, you should wear a mask when indoors and in public settings. Wearing a mask provides extra protection for you and those around you. And I know some Americans are wondering if you can safely celebrate the holidays with your family and friends. The answer is yes, you can. If you and those you celebrate with are vaccinated, particularly if you've gotten your booster shot. If you are vaccinated and follow the precautions that we all know well, you should feel comfortable celebrating Christmas and the holidays as you planned it. You know, you've done the right thing. You can enjoy the holiday season. And thanks to the progress on vaccinations this fall, we've gone from nearly 90 million adults in July who had not even started their vaccination process to fewer than 40 million today. Still too many, but down from 90 to 40. All these people who have not been vaccinated, you have an obligation to yourselves, to your families, and quite frankly, I know I get criticized for this, to your country. Get vaccinated now. It's free. It's convenient. I promise you, it saves lives. And I honest to God believe it's your patriotic duty. Another question folks are asking is, what can you do to make yourself and your family feel safer and be safer? The answer is simple. Get your booster shot. Wear a mask. Our doctors have made it clear, booster shots provide the strongest of protections. Unfortunately, we still have tens of millions of people who are eligible for the booster shot and would have not yet gotten it. They've gotten the first two shots, but they've not gotten the booster. Folks, the booster shots are free and widely available. Over 60 million Americans, including 62% of eligible seniors, our most vulnerable group, have gotten their booster shots. I got my booster shot as soon as they were available. And just the other day, former President Trump announced he had gotten his booster shot. It may be one of the few things he and I agree on. People with booster shots are highly protected. Join them. Join us. It's been 6 months or more since my second shot. If it's been 6 months or more for your second shot when I got my booster, you can get yours today if you've been 6 months or more since your second shot. Another question that folks are asking is, are we going back to March 2020? Not just last March 2021, but March 2020, when the pandemic first hit. That's what I keep getting asked. The answer is absolutely no. No. Here are three big differences between then and now. Number one, more than 200 million Americans have been fully vaccinated. In March of 2020, no one was fully vaccinated. What that means is today, a case of COVID-19 for fully vaccinated and boosted person will most likely mean no symptoms or mild ones similar to the common respiratory viruses. Over 200 million Americans should have a peace of mind that they did not have in March of 2020. They're protected from hospitalization, and they're protected from death. Second point, we're prepared today for what's coming. In March of 2020, we were not ready. Today, we stockpiled enough gowns, masks, and ventilators to deal with the surge of hospitalizations among the unvaccinated. Today, we're ready. And as I'll explain in a few minutes, we're going to be reinforcing our hospitals, helping them. Number three, we know a lot more today than we did back in March of 2020. For example, last year, we thought the only way to keep your children safe was to close our schools. Today, we know more and we have more resources to keep those schools open. You can get 5 to 11-year-olds vaccinated, a tool we didn't have until last month. Today, we don't have to shut down schools because of a case of COVID-19. Now, if a student tests positive, other students can take the test and stay in the classroom if they're not infected, rather than closing the whole school or having to quarantine. We can keep our K-12 schools open. That's exactly what we should be doing. So, folks, let me summarize. We should all be concerned about Omicron, but not panicked. If you're fully vaccinated, and especially if you got your booster shot, you are highly protected. And if you're unvaccinated, you're at a higher risk of getting severely ill from COVID-19, getting hospitalized, and even dying. So the best thing to do is get fully vaccinated and get your booster shot. And no, this is not March of 2020. 200 million people are fully vaccinated. We're prepared. We know more. We just have to stay focused. So that's where we stand. Now, let me tell you about the additional steps I'm ordering today to take on what is coming. I know you've heard a lot of this in the news already this morning. 3 weeks ago, I laid out a COVID-19 action plan for this winter that prepared us for this moment. Today, we're making the plan even stronger. First, we're setting up our vaccination and booster efforts. We're stepping it up significantly. In the past 2 weeks, we've seen the highest vaccination rates since last spring. And we aren't as vaccinated as a country as we should be, though. That's why we have added 10,000 new vaccination sites on top of the 80,000 sites that we already had in place. And even more will open in January. I know there's some parts of this country where people are very eager to get their booster, where it's harder to get an appointment, So starting this week, I'll be deploying hundreds more vaccinators and more sites to help get the booster shots in people's arms. I've ordered FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, to stand up new pop-up vaccination clinics all across the country where you can get that booster shot. We've opened, FEMA vaccination sites in Washington State and New Mexico recently as cases have increased. And today, I'm directing FEMA to stand up new sites in areas where there is a high demand. These steps are going to help us add more and more booster appointments and over the next few weeks. I also want to say a word to parents. If your children are not vaccinated, please get them vaccinated. If you're a parent, understandably, who waited to see how the first shots went with other kids before getting your own kid vaccinated, you can stop waiting. 6 million children in our country, ages 5 to 11, are vaccinated. Get your children protected today, now. And for those parents out there who have a child that's too young to be vaccinated, that is under the age of 5, I know this can still be a scary time. But one thing you can and must do while we await vaccines for children under 5, get yourself fully vaccinated and boosted, as well as those around you, your children, your caregivers, your siblings. It's critical to mask up in public indoor places. We know that our youngest children have only rarely been impacted by serious COVID-19 cases, but they can be further protected if they're surrounded by vaccinated people. And again, to folks who are not vaccinated, you may think you're putting only yourself at risk, but it's your choice. Your choice is not just a choice about you. It affects other people. You're putting other people at risk, your loved ones, your friends, neighbors, strangers you run into. And your choice can be the difference between life or death. The longer the virus is around, the more likely variants form that may be deadlier than the ones that have come before. Let me say again and again and again and again, please get vaccinated. It's the only responsible thing to do. Those who are not vaccinated are causing hospitals to become overrun again. I just spoke to the governor of New York. Every COVID-19 hospital means someone with a heart attack, cancer, or other serious illness may not get that bed and that life-saving care they need in the hospital. Look, let me give it to you straight again. Omicron is serious, potentially deadly business for unvaccinated people. Let me be clear. Thanks to the prior administration and our scientific community, America is one of the first countries to get the vaccine. And thanks to my administration and the hard work of Americans, we led a rollout that made America among the world leaders in getting shots in arms. But uptake slowed this summer as vaccine resistance among some hardened. Look, the unvaccinated are responsible for their own choices. But those choices have been fueled by dangerous misinformation on cable TV and social media. You know, these companies and personalities are making money by peddling lies and allowing misinformation that can kill their own customers and their own supporters. It's wrong. It's immoral. I call on the purveyors of these lies and misinformation to stop it. Stop it now. One of the other things that we know that has to be done is more testing. Because Omicron spreads easily, especially among the unvaccinated, it's critically important that we know who's infected. That means we need more testing. And on that score, we're now where we should be. Yes, we have over 20,000 free testing sites. Yes, we've used the Defense Production Act and spent $3 billion to greatly expand the number of at-home tests available for purchase online and at your local pharmacy. And yes, we made sure insurance covers the PCR tests you get in the hospital or at your doctor's office. But starting next month, private insurance will also cover at-home testing. So you can order a test online and get reimbursed. We're providing access to free at-home tests for those who may have insurance as well. May not have insurance, I should say, as well. But it's not enough. We have to do more. We have to do better. And we will. Starting this week, the federal government will set up emergency testing sites in areas that need additional testing capacity. Before Christmas, the first several of these federal testing sites will be up and running in New York City, with many more to come. This free testing is going to help reduce the waiting lines, the time you have to stand there, and sometimes it's an hour or more. We're going to continue to add federal testing sites where needed, so that if you want an immediate test, there'll be a place where you can go get it. We also need to do better with at-home testing. So I'm announcing today the federal government will purchase 500 million, that's not million, billion with a B, additional at-home rapid tests with delivery starting in January. We'll be getting these tests to Americans for free. And we'll have websites where you can get them delivered to your home. We've arranged for it to be easier for you to find a free COVID testing site near you on Google. Just enter COVID test near me in the Google search bar, and you can find a number of different locations nearby where you can get tested. We're going to continue to use the Defense Production Act, as we did earlier this month, to make sure we're producing as many tests and as quickly as possible. The bottom line is it's a lot better than it was, but we're taking even more steps to make it easier to get tested and get tested for free. Next, we're preparing hospitals for what's coming. Those 40 unvaccinated adults have a good chance of getting COVID-19, and some of you will get very sick. That'll mean hospital.
I do want to point out that it's 40 million, his previous number, not 40 people that have been unvaccinated. All right, so a little gist of what the president had to say, or is saying, on the winter of Omicron, right? Pick this up tomorrow on Midday Mobile. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. But remember, get out, do your Christmas shopping. Christmas is Saturday.